and welcome back to another episode of How Very Hannah. Roll the titles, the full titles. Once upon a time, there was a stagey girl with a big dream. She hoped, dreamed, and prayed to work at Tesco. Wait, someone's written this script wrong. Can we get a redo?
Take two.
I dreamed a dream that one day I would hit the stage. And so it seems that dream has come true.
Whoa, whoa.
Oh my God, you guys, it's really happening. My life has been changed for the better and I'm seizing the day and spinning into the spotlight. How very slay, it's giving queen. How very
cringe,
get out my scene. It's beginner's call, the stage is set for me. How very Hannah.
How very Hannah.
How very Hannah, that's the name from a podcast show and your front row. So how very Hannah.
Hit the lights.
How very Hannah.
That's too bright.
How very Hannah.
That was all right.
Okay, it's my podcast show. Let's go. I'm never going to get over the long boy titles, but there, you heard it. It's my podcast show. Let's go. Anyway, we're back in the studio for another exciting episode, as always. What do I need to update you on? So, I have two shows left in my live podcast tour thing that I might not have mentioned a couple of times. We've done Birmingham now. Birmingham was so good. Like, I mean, all the venues have been really fun so far, but like Birmingham, I just felt like Jacob was so funny. If you were there, his Celine Dion impression needs to win an Olivier Award because it was so good. It was a brilliant show. And when I tell you that is the most crazy stage door I have ever done in my life, I honestly feel like there was maybe like 200 people at stage door, or am I just being a bit big-headed there? Yeah, no, there was like 700. No, I'm kidding. There wasn't, but there was definitely over 100 people at stage door. Like, that is wild to me that many people, I don't know. Like, I also think like stage door is such a young thing that people do. Like, my mum probably wouldn't go to stage door to meet someone she's a fan of. Like, it is a young thing to do. And I think because a lot of the audience are like young as well. Although we do a whole thing in the show, which you will see if you're coming to see us in either Brighton or Manchester, where we work out like the general age of the room. And actually it is pretty spread, but I just feel like the younger people are the loudest and we love you for it. The mega fans, the Hannah Lau, the mega fans, what the heck? Well, the How Very Hannah mega fans. Anyway, I'm just yapping. What else do I have to update you on? Just that we've got two live shows left, which I'm really excited for. And there are still some tickets available. There's actually, I think we're almost sold out in Manchester, which is the final show. And literally in a couple of days on the Friday, the 7th of November, we have the Brighton show, which I think there's still some tickets left for, potentially. So that's all I have to update you on. Still haven't had my new job announced, so I can't talk about that yet. But don't you worry, we're waiting. We're waiting for that one day. Today's guests are two musical theatre performers who I'm very excited to sit down and have a chat with. One of them I've met before and is my friend, and the other one I've never met before. So it's going to be a really, really fun episode, and I can't wait to hear all about 51st States, which is the show they're currently performing at the Other Palace. So without further ado, let's get into it. Welcome to the pod, Josh Sinclair and Georgina Castle!
Hi.
Round of applause for the live studio audience. Welcome to How Very Hannah.
Thanks for having us.
Could you tell what the name was?
Ta-da!
With this huge sign?
It looks epic.
I'm really excited to have you two. A real life couple, I'm joking.
And wow. All,
no, she moves fast.
Yeah. They're already married. No, on stage couple. Actually, this is my first on stage couple.
Oh, really?
How cute.
And that's funny that you just said the real life couple, because three times this week, I've been asked if we're together in real life.
Oh gosh, that's so awkward.
I know.
Convincing enough.
Yeah.
But it's funny, I'm like, no, she's very much just gotten married.
Yeah, yeah. You've just gotten married.
To somebody else. Yeah.
To somebody else also in the industry, Simon Lipkin.
Yes.
I feel like I'm just engaged.
Sure. I know.
Yes. I'm just engaged, you're just married. How's married life, Georgina?
It's the best. I feel like I've barely seen him and aww. I've been kissing this man a lot more than my actual husband. But
that's so weird.
It's so bizarre. It's funny, old world.
Yeah.
The one that we're in, isn't it? But it's been amazing. And you're gorgeous, and yeah, life is good.
Oh my gosh. Happy. I mean, do you know what? I used to get so many questions. Like, what's it like doing on stage, like work with a partner? I'm like, well, I actually never have. Like, it makes me nervous.
You never have.
I never have. I've never had to have. Well, okay, I lie. I had one on. Sorry, why do I sound like 15? I'm 28. I was like, oh my God. So I had one on stage kiss when I was in school. No, when I was in my third year at drama school, and it was The Witches of Eastwick.
Yeah.
And it was just like one, it was one kiss where we were meant to be like in a trance, so it wasn't even like a proper kiss. And I freaked out about it.
Did you? Well, it is a weird thing.
It is a weird thing.
It's, and I feel also, like, I mean, the first one that you'll be doing then professionally, you'll be engaged or married, which is even weirder.
Yes.
But no, we were so comfortable with each other so quickly, I think.
Yeah.
It's like choreography, it's like, right?
It is. You do have to think of it.
Yeah, like, it is. It's like a dance, really. It's like, okay, I'm going to go this way, I'm going to go that way.
And it's not that deep.
It's not that deep.
And also it's like having, you know, permission, just like, and it being an open conversation, like, I don't like being maybe touched here, or I don't like, you know, X, Y, Z, and just being clear with your boundaries. And other than that, it's just like the moment of what's happening in the piece or whatever, it just kind of happens. And I don't really think about it as anything other than us as characters kissing.
Just kiss it. It's making part of the story. It's part of the choreography. Yeah. And also, like, a show like Heather's, also at the Other Palace, the scene in that dead girl walking is like the most intense you can get. I don't know if you ever saw it, but there was a moment where I think someone said their gran was like sitting in the third row, and they just saw it, was like, and it was like, oh my God. So I feel like it can't.
Here we go.
If that's your first time doing it, then you're thrown in at the deep end. Luckily, I never did Veronica, so I didn't have to go through that.
I feel like it would be fine. Poor parents. My God, my parents got a real baptism of fire when they came to see my third year show.
Which was?
We did Company, and for the whole of the TikTok dance number, April.
TikTok?
And yeah, what? I know.
Sorry, what?
There's a sex scene for a whole full 4 minute sex scene, and the audiences weren't allocated seats. So my parents sat right where it was happening.
Oh, no.
And it was awful.
It can't get worse. Truly,
it can't get worse than that. I was also like 18 or 19 and quite green, and it was just very embarrassing. But nothing will shock them anymore.
When I did Ghost, there was like a intimate moment where I essentially had to like reenact going south on my scene partner. And my grandma watched.
Why am I going so red?
No, my grandma watched. And apparently she leaned over to my dad and went, he doesn't do that.
Oh, it's putting the ideas in their minds. It's like, just like moving on. But we want our family to come and support us, right? But this is, you know, quite intense. Yeah. So 51st Dates, let's talk about it. It's a beloved film. One of my favourite films.
Yeah.
What's it like reimagining these characters that people know and love so much?
This is funny now, because it's the second character in a row that I've played, which is like based off a movie, and for you as well, I guess, having just done Mean Girls. But we've talked about this before. It's kind of like you honour it and you respect what said actor did with the part, but then also we're in a different medium. This is very much an adaptation, because if you recognize the film, you're a big fan of the film, we really have like adapted it, and the story has moved. It's moving to present day. Henry, the Adam Sandler character, he's no longer a marine vet, sorry, bye-bye walrus, but do you know what I mean? So there's been those changes there, which has allowed us to move away from it just being, you know, the screenplay on stage with songs shoehorned in. I feel like what we've done very well is given it its own identity, and I think that's what people are connecting with. You know, people who are fans of the film and not are like, oh, it's surprisingly very good and very moving. So I'm very proud of it, and I'm really proud of the journey we've been on with it.
Yeah,
I don't know what the original question was, but
no, that's fine. I was just saying, like, obviously it feels like it's been more inspired by the film, and although it's got the same name, there's two different types of shows. I feel like, which show, I mean, Dirty Dancing, I came to watch that at the Dominion, and that felt very much like a replica of the film.
Exactly. It's like, we're going to pick up the movie and we're going to put it on stage. This is not that at all. And our writers have actually, you know, they've made quite a few changes, I think for the better, just, you know, times move on. We're now two decades on from when it first came out. So little things have to be adapted. And I think in terms of like playing a character that people love is always a little bit scary, because people love it. So there's some sort of expectation that they have in their head of what that character is and what it means to them. But I think what Casey did so amazingly was give us the chance to just bring it as close to ourselves as possible. And he just gave us that freedom, which is really nice and doesn't always happen. So
yeah. And so in Mean Girls, you obviously played Regina George, actually I feel connected to in a way because this is one of my first viral TikToks.
Oh, cool!
And you know that Regina kitchen towel.
No.
Oh, get to know Regina.
Well, how
there's
do
this
I not
kitchen
know that?
Towel brand
yeah?
called Regina. Kitchen roll, whatever you call it. Like it's called Regina. And I used to sit and it was opposite the tills at Tesco. And I used to sit and look at it all the time and be like, my name is Regina. Whilst I was serving the customer, it's like, help. And so I've always felt connected to it. And then
brilliant.
It's so random. And then I filmed a video that was like, my name is Regina. Because my colleagues were like, what's that? What's Mean Girls musical? Didn't know it was musical.
And also you were like, get to know.
Yeah, and I was like, get to know. Yeah. So I thought someone on TikTok's going to understand this. And luckily I found the right
and they did you
the
found
right
the audience
on
that.
TikTok.
Yeah.
And you've never looked back.
And I've never looked back. No, but anyway, it's not about me. So with Regina, obviously again, an iconic role from a film. Mm-hmm. It's like a running theme.
God, you right? would be a fantastic Regina George.
Oh my gosh.
But also you,
what are you trying to say?
You'd be sensational. No, you'd be a massive deal. I know. And actually, both of them are 2004 movies that
That's
have been turned
mad.
Into musicals. So I was like, I didn't know it.
Okay,
I,
so
I
next
found my
show,
niche.
Let's see. What's it going to be? Like another 2004 exactly. film. Let's start speculating. What else
what
came
else
out
came
around
out
that time?
Year?
Legally Blonde? I mean. They're all like 2000s classics.
Yes, they are. Classics from like when I was in my early teens as well. So I'm just obsessed with all of that. I mean, but there are so many coming out now. 13 Going on 30, Freaky Friday. And
it's a whole thing.
It's a whole thing. It's a
and
whole
Andy Fickman's directing them all.
Yeah, go on, Andy.
But not yours.
Not ours.
No.
Casey. Casey
Jobs. But kind of feels
Casey,
connected.
Casey, you did Mean Girls. Do you know what I mean? So it's all
oh
like,
my
it's all,
gosh,
like a,
yeah. Everyone knows everyone in this industry. That's the thing. I feel like I just had Lizzie B in the studio filming the week before's episode. And she was like, yeah, I know Josh Sinclair. Everyone truly does know everyone.
Yeah, we literally shared many digs together on our Kinky Boots tour.
That's crazy.
Pre-COVID. Oh.
So you did Kinky Boots with Lizzie?
I did Kinky Boots with Lizzie.
Oh my gosh. And was Ghost, sorry, Q&A, was Ghost a UK tour as well?
Yeah.
So what's been the difference for you touring and then being in town?
Just the consistency that you get that you don't have on tour. Like a show is always tiring, especially if you are playing like a principal part, right? So then you add in the elements that every week your bed changes, your route to work changes, your nearest place to get a decent cup of coffee, and I love coffee, where you can get a food shop, like everything. It's so inconsistent. So therefore the only consistent thing you have is the show. And so then when that potentially gets a bit tiring or difficult, it can be really tough.
Yeah.
It also takes energy to be in different environments or to get used to it. Vocally,
yes, exactly. In theatres, I'd say the sound in every theatre is different.
Yeah.
Whereas at least with a job, I guess we're technically off West End, but in somewhere where you are consistently performing, I get to sleep in my bed every day.
Yeah.
I know where the good cup of coffee is. I know where my gym is, and all that stuff. That consistency, which allowed you to then do your job, as well as you can.
Yeah, touring is hard. Touring is not for the weak. I always say that.
And I do like it. I do like going to different cities and being like, oh, it's
it
cute
is
here.
Amazing.
Like, I could see myself living here or retiring here. And then some cities where you're like, I never need to return here.
Yeah, please. I never want to come back to the city in my life. What I did when I was on tour with SpongeBob, I was lucky. It was quite a short tour. It was like 8 months or 9 months.
Yeah, so it was a ghost tour. So
yeah.
Nice and short.
And it was nice and short. But what I always did is I always took my own pillowcase. So in any place I went, and it was like a nice, it wasn't real satin. It was like, no, was it satin? What's the expensive one? It wasn't silk.
So it was
satin. I took my own satin pillowcase wherever
That's
I went
nice.
So that it was like nice on my skin. And like I had just my own thing from home. And also like staying in hotels and staying in digs that, might not have a working oven and stuff like that. It's like, it's a lot. So I think if you've got like a little slice of home, it's nice.
Yeah, I'm grateful.
Okay, so we have a segment on the pod called Confessions of a Drama Queen.
Ooh.
Oh, wow.
I need my pitch pipe for this. It's very pitch perfect vibes. Is that 2000s
Your
film?
Pitch Perfect. Yeah. Oh, is that the next one that's coming out?
Maybe.
Rebel Wilson.
Pitch Perfect on stage.
On stage.
Iconic. Confessions of a Drama Queen. Okay. All right. Moving swiftly on. So we have a confession from a listener.
Beautiful.
And we're just going to give them some advice.
Okay, great.
Hi, Hannah. And Josh and Georgina, obviously. This feels weird to admit, but I think I'm falling out of love with theatre. I still love performing, but lately the pressure, competition and constant hustle side of it has made me dread it more than enjoy it. Have you ever felt that way? And if so, how did you get the spark back?
That makes me so sad for that person because actually, sorry to I'm going to go first on this one because I'm so passionate about this. Lots of the time at stage door, people or people's parents ask what the one piece of advice is that I would give to anyone getting into this industry. And actually, the thing that I always say is to try and keep finding the joy, because I think it is so easy to lose sight of why you're doing this in the first place and lose that feeling of connection with what it is that you actually love, because what we do is hard and there is so much pressure and there's so much rejection, and you cannot help but take it personally because what you are offering is personal. Yeah. What we are selling is literally ourselves, and it comes from our brains and our hearts, and it's our passion. So it's like, it is just, it is us.
And you're going to feel more emotionally attached to that.
Of course, of course. And I think you're emotionally attached in a different way, because if you do want to do this as a career, it is your passion. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't go into it with any sort of certainty. It's just a sort of, you know, kooky idea that maybe I can do this thing.
Maybe we can make it.
But how to reconnect with the joy of it, I think, is different for everyone. Yeah. So I feel like that they need to do a little bit of their own searching, I guess. How do you think you would reconnect with the joy?
That was very articulate, by the way.
Yeah, that was brilliant. Put that, put it on socials.
Yeah, no, honestly, that was really, really nice.
I didn't give any advice, just empathy.
Well, you nailed it when you kind of said it's so hard for it like to not feel personal. I think it's always, our industry will always be here. Not that it's ever going to get easier. It's probably only ever going to get harder, but it is here. And in that knowledge, I always think it's always good just to like explore other stuff that makes you happy. And I always think it's very important to have something outside of theatre that does make you happy. It can't, even though it is our life, it can't fully consume it. Otherwise, you're just going to be putting too much pressure on yourself to constantly like succeed.
So I guess
my advice would be, interestingly, because I feel like I maybe had a moment like this maybe 3 or so years ago where I kind of fell out of love with singing, and I just stopped singing for a really long time.
Yeah.
And it was just through like doing other things that suddenly I would find myself maybe singing around the house or again or whatever, and suddenly starting to find the joy in it again. So by putting my attention on stuff that wasn't this, took the pressure off of it. So when I found something else that I was finding joy in, I suddenly started returning to this, going like, oh yeah, no, I do still love this. I just needed a break.
Yeah.
And it's so okay to need a break.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's always the case, isn't it? Like, as soon as you take the pressure off and audition for a job that you maybe don't care about or you don't really want that badly, that's the one you get. And that could be the one that could be life-changing. Or I think often we're always focused on trying to work towards our goals all the time and just be like, if I'm not consistently, you know, auditioning and prepping and going to class, then I'm not working hard. But there's so many things that happen in life that can help contribute towards your performance and towards your success.
Oh my God, 100%.
Like, if you had no life experience, there's so many roles that you wouldn't be able to relate to and wouldn't be able to like put bits of yourself into. So it's so important, like you said, to have something else that you get joy from as well as theatre. And if you're looking to find more joy in theatre, I don't know, maybe go and watch lots of shows or surround yourself with theatrical people and stuff. Like, I personally feel, especially through COVID, like I did lose the joy in theatre, and then I turned, why do I keep making it about TikTok and me? Sorry. It just happened.
No, but that was your journey.
I turned,
I lost the joy.
Yeah, I lost the joy and I turned to TikTok, and I tried to find, you know, I wasn't surrounded by my usual friends that brought me that theatrical joy and made me excited, and we were chatting about the shows and stuff, and that's where I turned. So yeah, I think there's a couple ways that you can, but I think just keep going. Just keep
hard. Yeah, just keep going.
Yeah, working
hard. This too shall pass.
Yes.
Yeah, and just kind of letting go a little bit. Because that's probably typically when the best thing's going to happen.
I think your personal happiness is more important.
Yeah. And as much as our, you know, theatre is a lot of, it's our lives, you know, like it's what, it consumes us. Like, if you actually deep it, it's our jobs and it's our careers. And a lot of people in other industries, their job is there to support their life. And they make money from their job to have their lives. Mm-hmm. Whereas because it is our lives, it's so intertwined.
Yeah.
So maybe just try and like separate it a little bit and give yourself certain hours in the day. This is where I'm going to work on my craft, and then I'm going to let it go and just like enjoy my life.
I love that. And that trust that everything, like you say, feeds into you getting better at your craft. It's just time and life experience.
Yeah.
And that was something that I never understood when I was 18. Yes. I would, when people were like, oh, you know, you need a little bit more life experience. I'm like, go away. I've been.
I'm 18.
I'm 18. I've been heartbroken. I've lived a little.
But
It is so badass. True.
Well, rock and roll.
She's crazy. She's a crazy gal. And obviously, I know I'm not old now, old to some people, but at 32, I'm like, oh, okay, no, I understand. Unagi. Yeah. Mm. Salmon skin roll.
Yeah.
Understand what they mean.
I completely agree with that. Yeah. And I think I've said this to you before, like, I feel very lucky that I feel like I've never gotten a job that I wasn't ready for. Because I think when you graduate, you just think, you're like, yeah, I could be the lead. Like,
yeah, oh my God.
No way. Like, no. I feel so grateful that I, you know, did years in the ensemble and learning and watching people that I understudied and choosing how I liked, you know, how certain people, their companies and their craft. And like you say, and everyone says, steal from the best people. It's true. You should.
Yeah.
And it's just meant that, like, when the opportunities have now come my way to do stuff like Ghost and now this, I felt like, really ready to take on that challenge as opposed to being afraid of it. And I'm so grateful for that.
Yeah, that's everyone's cool. Journeys are so different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Some people will leave drama school and go straight into a lead role. And like, it's where, you know, when you're also like working really hard and you see that happen, you're like, oh, how has that happened? But like, everyone's journey is different. So just,
totally.
I hate saying it, but I guess just trust the process, live your best life.
Yes, marathon, not a sprint, all of those.
Exactly.
Comparison is the thief of joy. That's another good one.
What other quotes could we say? Yeah. Take just one step and not the whole staircase.
One step at a time.
So stagey. We don't do that here, okay?
No, that is, it's like really
it's like the
not
least
cool.
Stagey place I've ever been. Now it's time for... that was a bit dry, hold on. That was the wrong note. What? It's that one. Hello, is anyone in there?
Hannah's hotline.
Oh my gosh. Okay, we got there in the end. Can you hear that? Oh, the phone's ringing.
Here, I'll put it in the middle so you can both hear.
Hi guys. What's your favourite part of working on and developing a new show?
There are loads.
God,
there are so
many highlight bits, aren't there?
I feel with this, it was just like the play element of everything being new and us getting to develop these characters. Yeah. And
it's a world preview, right? Like this is the first time this musical's ever been on. First so you're like the first iterations of these characters to ever exist.
Which is really
forever. Cool. Put it in the history book.
Put it on Wikipedia. Cool.
Exactly. And also when you take on any job, you never know like where it's gonna go, what it's gonna do.
Yeah.
Like relating it to Six, this show that I talk about literally never. The girls that, you know, did the first Edinburgh Fringe version, like never knew it was gonna be such a big deal and they were then gonna film a movie version of it. Like I think developing a new show from the start can be so exciting because you just never know.
It's the best. And also it's the only time where you have a chance to work often with the creatives. Yeah. Like to have the actual writer in the room. Even sometimes with the director, like often if you're taking over in a new cast, you'll have the associate or the resident work you in.
Yeah.
Which is obviously still, you know, these are still brilliant people, but to have the person in the room whose brain it has actually come from is exciting in a whole new way. And to sort of see them work and see how they absorb stuff and go, oh no, that punchline doesn't work. Let me write this here. Or, and actually have conversations with you as an actor and go, how does that feel? Does that feel right? And it's
such
like,
a collaborative.
Oh my God, it's so exciting.
And that's what is fun. It's the collaboration for sure. And like you said, it's the yin and yang between us kind of thinking, oh, I don't know if that works. Does that land? And then, like you said, the writers will go away and write something new.
Yeah.
I remember a song, a beautiful song at the end of our show called Paint What You Feel, was a completely different song in the rehearsal room. And Georgie, I remember you just kind of saying, this makes no sense because of X, Y, Z. And then they went off and they had a big discussion. Then it suddenly completely changed. And it was suddenly a much clearer, better song. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That came from you being brave enough as an actor. Maybe you being brave enough as an actor to go, this... To me, this doesn't feel right in this character that we've made together. This at this point doesn't feel right. And the fact that they were great collaborators, because you could have some who would get the back and be like, no, that's the song and that's how it goes. Mm. But that's not who we were working with. We were working with very, very generous collaborators who listened to us and wanted to make the best show possible, right? Mm-hmm. So by listening, you know, to you and to me and you know, everyone and Casey, we were able to do that. And Casey is also such a mastermind at like balancing like pathos and humor.
What's pathos? Sorry.
Like like sadder moments.
Okay, thank you.
Like he's a genius.
Every day's
like,
a teaching day.
There's so many corner. Moments in our show where, you know, it's silence in the auditorium and then suddenly like a joke comes from nowhere that lands, which breaks that like tension mm-hmm. and developing all of that and finding that was, yeah.
Yeah.
I could literally wax lyrical about it for a long time.
I love that. You're obviously so passionate about it. And I think that's what's so special is because you have had such a collaborative process, like you're going to feel such a connection to this project now forever. And like, no matter how many iterations of the show happen and, you know, it goes to Broadway, you know, it transfers or something. Watch the space, who knows? If it does, like you're always going to feel connected to this show and you're always going to be the people who played these roles first and kind of helped create these roles. Like you technically should be on the credits as like, you know, being on the creative team as well because you have helped create it. No. Yeah, where's the royalties? Hello.
But they do that. In America, across the pond, if you're in the workshop, you know, you also get paid. I mean, I don't think it's a lot of money, but you get paid as a creative because obviously you're putting your ideas in there and you're bringing your energy, which is cool. And listen, there's probably reasons why it works or doesn't work and positives and negatives, but in terms of like a contribution to the process, it's just amazing to be listened to. And also it's completely fair enough. There was one bit that I was fighting for in that song. It was this big, beautiful musical build-up. Mm. And Casey said no. And I was like, come on, please. And he said no. And I was like, please, no. And it stayed as a no. And I'm like, okay, fine, fair enough.
But, Mark, I'm late, put it in.
And sometimes you'll suggest something, you'll be like, that's a dreadful idea.
Terrible.
And you go, yeah.
Humbled, fair. Okay, sure.
Even to have the... I can't think of the right word, but the power, I don't want to say power, that feels wrong, but to kind of say that feels a bit like high for me. Can we maybe look at changing the key of that or putting it in a place that like suits my voice where I know I'll be able to do it 8 times a week safely, yada, yada. Well, you know, when you go into like big mega musical, you can't just be like, can we take Defying Gravity down?
Excuse me, Stevie, it's not working.
Stuff like that. And that's another beautiful part of it. Because again, like you said, it kind of gets tailor-made to what like our strengths are.
Yeah.
And therefore shows us off really, really well. And I'm glad that, you know, just that our passion. Because
I saw something really interesting recently. A friend of mine, JJ, who does lots of content in America. He works in theatre. He's done so many like Broadway shows and he just left Hamilton to do Frank in Catch Me If You Can.
Oh, cool.
I saw this.
Yeah, JJ Neiman. He's like...
He talked about his reasons for why he did
Yes. And it was so fantastic that he actually broke it down because so many people are like, why have you left Hamilton on Broadway to go to play a role in Chicago at like a, you know, local theatre? It was like a rep theatre kind of thing. And he broke down his reasons for doing it. And it was because... You know, there are so many reasons why people kind of put the Broadway and the West End and stuff like that as these like peak pinnacle moments. But actually the most fulfilling projects can be ones that are smaller. And, you know, Frank, I don't know how you say his surname. Abagnale Jr. or something like that. Abagnale Jr. Someone in the comments, please tell us. Fact check that. That was his dream role. And he's always wanted to play it. So he left Hamilton and Broadway to go and play it. And Hamilton's not going anywhere. You know, he might go back one day. And there's so many reasons why different projects can be good. And, you know, when people ask you what your favorite project has been, you know, they might think you're going to say Regina George and Mean Girls. But it might, you know, it could be literally anything. It could be something, a workshop you did for a week.
Yeah,
because you just had the best
you
time
connect
for a week.
I mean, and also like, we talk about finding the joy earlier and it's like, you just got to follow your heart. You've got to go to the projects that speak to you.
Everything happens for a reason as well. And like you were saying about feeling like the roles are ready for you in that time, you know, like I have many dream roles in my head and they have, you know, if they haven't happened yet, then that's so fine because I feel like one day they might.
And also they'll change.
Yes. Like, and it changes every day.
It changes every day. Like they'll move.
Yeah.
What 21-year-old me wanted when I left drama school is not what 32-year-old me wants now.
Wait, are you both 32?
We are.
Oh, who's older?
It's me, isn't it? Oh, am I significantly older? When's your birthday?
I'm May. I'm a Taurus.
What star sign are you?
I'm a Sagittarius.
I don't know anything about
baby.
Star signs.
Yeah, your birthday's soon.
Yeah, I'm a Virgo, if that helps.
But it is weird, but I feel being like similar ages. We do, and I don't know, maybe we've got similar life experiences, but we think very similarly, don't we?
That's so nice.
Like in rehearsals, I'd come over to you and be like, I was thinking, and you'd be like, I was going to say the exact same thing.
Yeah, before you even said
instant
it.
Instant connection.
Yeah,
it's been cool.
It was nice.
That's so nice. So I have a new quiz book called Les Quizarables, and
I <can't. laughs>
I wanted to quiz you.
Okay, oh God.
Some stagey things.
Let's go.
So, first half of the book is all musicals.
Is that you at the front as Howard?
It's inspired by me. So yes, I would say it's me.
Oh, that's epic.
And then you as the Phantom.
And me as the Phantom. Can you imagine? It was me as the Phantom. Me as, very on brand. No, this is inspired by Leighton, I think. Yeah. Well, not officially, but I saw Leighton at Musical Con yesterday and he was like, the amount of books I've signed with my face on the front. And I was like, sorry. Like, technically, it was just inspired by, you know, Cynthia,
yeah,
me, Leighton.
I love it. It looks amazing.
Whoever they found on Google. Do you know what I mean? I don't know who this guy is.
John Robbins?
Yeah, let's go with that. Okay, so what musicals would you say you're like, know everything about?
Grease.
I'm trash for Wicked. I'm trash
Wicked.
For it. I'm trash.
You'll know more than me.
But I do feel like Wicked, you're both going to know.
Do you think?
We can try Grease. Like, I've seen Grease enough times.
Okay, yeah.
You said it. Don't pull our face. You said it.
I mean, Mean Girls is in here. Like,
oh, is Mean God. Girls in there? Let's do a Mean Girls.
Should we try Mean Girls?
Let's do Mean Girls.
Okay, I didn't want to be bait and be like, let's do Mean Girls.
I know a few.
Okay, Mean Girls, page 212, bear with. Should we go straight for the superfan section? I'll do a couple from each. This is one of the easy ones.
Give me an easy one. Give her the difficult one.
Okay, this is an easy one. You've got this.
I got this.
The Plastics consist of Regina George, Gretchen Wieners, and who else?
Karen.
Surname?
Oh,
I think like the most basic surname.
Phone a friend.
Really basic surname. You've got
Karen
it.
Smith.
Yes. Okay, another easy one. Who plays Regina in the 2024 movie version of Mean Girls, reprising the role she played on Broadway?
Renee Rapp.
Correct. Wow. We love Renee Rapp. I saw Renee Rapp at the Capitol Summertime Ball.
Unreal.
And we were doing a backstage tour and she walked right past me and I went, my name is... And she was like, yes. And I was like, wait, can you say that again for my camera? But she did, obviously. She just walked right past
me. I had a friend that met her before I did the show and they said, my friend is just about to open as... I was going to say, as you. I'm playing Renee Rapp.
Yeah.
Do you have any advice? And all she said was, eat down. And I was like, oh, so cool.
That's so on brand for her.
So Renee Rapp.
Okay, final question. Actually... Georgie.
Go on, give her the two.
You're going to know these.
I don't know if I will. Let's see.
Who wrote the lyrics to Mean Girls?
Oh, Nell Benjamin.
Yes.
Yes.
Which American singer-songwriter made her Broadway debut as Katie in 2020?
Sabrina Carpenter.
Isn't that crazy?
Isn't that amazing that she did it with Renee Rapp just for like two
days. And then COVID hit and we were COVID robbed hit. Of that.
But then such she released Espresso and all of our lives changed.
True.
Yeah. I love that you called it Espresso.
Sorry. I was going to say Espresso.
And as someone who loves coffee.
I know that's embarrassing, isn't it? That's ironic.
Can I have a double espresso?
It's canceling.
Oh no.
I'm looking at the camera right now. That's really sad.
Apologize right down the lens to all the coffee lovers out there. Espresso. Who is the principal of the school?
Phone a friend.
You've got this.
Oh, think.
Mr.
I just love it when he's like, I'm not going to do that because I've already paid the DJ. That's one of my favourite lines ever.
Oh, no.
I will keep you here all night.
You can't keep him past four.
I will keep you here till four.
So I can quote it. I just don't know the name.
Mr. Duval.
I did not leave the South Side for this.
Boom. Okay. Sorry.
Yeah, no, you got it. Okay, I'll ask you another hard one.
What is
the brand name of the weight gain bars that Katie recommends to Regina?
Carlton.
You know it!
So he did it with like a Swedish accent.
Carlton.
Carlton bars. And that was Scottish.
Oh, you've got them. I mean, I'm not going to do any more on those. What other shows?
Fun,
one more. Actually, let's just do like a general.
Okay.
Okay, let's try the Link Larkin round. 268, which is basically...
Is it all about him?
No, it's just like Link. It's just like things that link, but I just wanted to call it something strange.
Very clever. It's a musical theatre punk.
Yeah, it was quite a whole thing.
That's amazing.
It was a whole thing. Okay, so Link Larkin. So basically, I'll give you a word that ends in the title of one show and begins another, if that makes
sense.
Sensational. Okay, I'll give you the initials of the show.
Okay.
Of both shows. So the first initials, the word is love. Initials of first show is AOL and the second show is LND. So love is the word that connects
them. I think
them.
I know what they both
got them straight
are.
Away.
Yeah.
Love never dies.
Yeah, and aspects of love.
Perfect. Teamwork, okay, so maybe. that's the concept. The word is girl. First initials are MAMG and then GFTNC.
I know the second one.
Girl from the North Country.
Yeah.
MAMG.
Me and my girl.
Yes! Yay! Okay, you guys have got this. Right, note to self, book two, no make idea. Harder. Okay, I feel like it does get harder as you go along.
Hold on to your hats, kids.
I know, this is, you'll get this. Okay, the word is Sunday. Ooh, what's it going to be? TMOAS.
Tell Me on a Sunday.
Oh yeah, and S-I-P.
Sunday in the park.
S-I-T-P. Long word. Sunday in the park with George. Okay, you've got Sunday it. Okay, right. But it's a fun little concept, right?
It's great.
Like the Link.
Yeah, no,
and
I like that.
Link Larkin.
Link Larkin.
And
very
we all love
clever.
Link Larkin. Shh. Wait, I've really... Okay, you might not get this one. Okay. Sorry, this is the last one. Right. The word... Actually, maybe I won't tell you the word.
Okay, don't tell us the words. See if we can get out.
Okay. S-D-D-O-W-A-R. Actually, it doesn't work if I don't tell you the word, does it? S-D.
Well, therefore the word has to be D.
Yeah.
Okay, S-D.
Ooh.
S-D. D-W what?
D-O-W-A-R. Shall I give you the word?
Give us the word.
Days.
Not sunny days.
I know, I went to say sunny days.
Oh.
Saturdays.
No, like...
Oh, hungry days. So that's not an S. Sugar days. What?
I wouldn't eat it. Sorry.
Oh, is it really easy? Are we going to kick ourselves?
Like, you eat it if you're being healthy.
Salad days.
Yeah.
Salad
Have you heard
days.
Of that one? Have you never heard of
no.
salad days? Oh, okay. Well, get to know.
And then days.
Days.
Oh, God. This is quite a tricky one
days
then.
Days of.
Days.
Yeah, of.
Of.
W-A-R.
And it's a musicale. That's musicale.
Whoa.
Days of, wow, you're a crazy cat.
Days of whiskey.
Days of whiskey.
Nope.
Days of
the
wine.
Yeah.
And rum.
Country. D-O-W-A-R.
Days of wine and roses.
Never heard of
I
it.
What?
That was hard.
You weren't listening to History of Musical Theatre at drama school. No, I'm joking.
No, exactly.
No,
not.
It's fine. Well, there you have it. Wow. Top marks for the show knowledge.
Thank you.
It's good. We failed that last one.
But
that's fun,
that,
though.
We were all right, weren't we?
Yeah, how fun.
It's good to have a mixture of some easy, some more challenging.
Yeah, thank you.
Love that.
So, Josh and Georgina and the whole cast are going to be in 51st Dates until...
The 16th of November.
16th of November. So you've got a couple of weeks to go and catch them in the show at the Other Palace in London. Thank you so much for joining me. And thank you so much for listening to the podcast. Make sure to like, comment, follow, subscribe. Send in your confessions and your hotlines to hello@halvaryhannah.com. And have a great week. Okay, bye.
Bye.